Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the August 2010 issue of Boy's Life and portions from Scouts in the News. Our first article from Boy's Life is entitled Trail Builders, and it has a big picture here on both pages, 30 and 31, of boys with rakes and shovels, and a big sign built here with Trail Builders, and it looks like they're actually making a trail. There looks like they're cutting down some trees and making a trail for themselves. And here's the caption. North Carolina scouts fend off ticks, poison ivy, and some thick vegetation to help clear a 900-mile trail. Well, the morning is growing hot, and all kinds of critters are stirring in the woods as a group of scouts assembles at a boot ramp next to Falls Lake in central North Carolina last summer. The guys pay them no mind. They aren't here to go canoeing or hiking or to watch the wildlife. They're here to cut trail. The partially completed Mountains to Sea Trail, MST, eventually will be 930 miles long, all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the Appalachian Mountains, and it isn't going to build itself. In the 1970s, officials at the North Carolina Divisions of Parks and Recreation dreamed up the idea of constructing the trail, but the state had no money to do it, so volunteers have stepped in. Over the past 25 years, scout troops from across the state have worked on different sections of the MST. Nearly 20 different troops have worked on the Falls Lake State Recreation Area portion. They have helped build 45 miles of trail along the lake, and that number grows every month. It was amazing, says Danny French, a 16-year-old life scout with Troop 100 in Raleigh, North Carolina. I saw other people, middle-aged people, and a younger group of scouts all working hard. Hot work. In the parking lot at Falls Lake, a crew leader lifts tools out of a trailer and lays them out on the pavement. Hand saws, loppers, fire rakers, and mattocks are all available for the taking. The crew leader gives a safety talk and warns of the dangers of dehydration, a genuine risk on this 80-degree day that will feel more like 90 once the scouts start working. The scouts enter a thick forest. The team leader marks the path every dozen feet with red flags. The scouts must then cut and remove any trees between the flags, rake away leaves and pine straw, and level the trail. Star Scout Austin Blackwood, 12, Troop 318, and Eagle Scout Chris Daly, 16, Troop 500, wield mattocks. Their work goes smoothly until they come up on a stump, the main route of which spans the entire trail. We whacked at that thing for about a half hour, Austin says. Finally, someone came along with the chainsaw and cut it right out. The heat and that stump, those were the hardest parts of the day. By late morning, the scouts have cut a half mile of trail and are ready for a break. They relax in the shade of the lakeside tree, eating lunch and pulling off ticks. Some ticks can transmit a disease known as Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, which can be severe, even fatal, if left untreated. One scout counts 18 ticks on his legs, all part of a day's work. Work that lasts lifetimes. After lunch, the scouts get back to work. The temperature has climbed, necessitating frequent water breaks. Poison ivy has to be cleared and more ticks removed. Cars and trucks whoosh past as the scouts clear honeysuckle and Spanish olive trees from a portion of the trail that runs parallel to a highway. The trail ducks back into hardwood forest and finally ends at a culvert that runs beneath the highway. That will be the beginning of the next section of trail work, possibly for another group of scouts on another day. For these guys, with a full mile of trail cleared and leveled, their work is done. When complete, the MST will be one of the longest trails in the country, passing through terrain ranging from sand dunes to coastal swamps to low hills and rugged mountains. The easternmost point is at sea level. The western point, called Klingman's Dome, sits at 6,643 feet. About half of the entire MST trail is finished. Trail building will be needed for years to come. It's awesome to know, says John Taylor, a 17-year-old Eagle Scout from Troop 146 in Wilton, North Carolina. that I've built something that my children's children will use. And on these pages 32 and 33, it has pictures of the boys wielding their mattocks and shovels. Has one group of boys holding up some sand and a piece of oak. Another group of boys using pickaxes and shoveling. And has a caption here. Clockwise from left, Sam Long left, and Scott Perriton removed some extremely tough vegetation. Jonathan Hill, Ryan Tice, and Chris Daly, left to right, put their tools to the test. Albie White knows the importance of staying hydrated. Firefighters use fire rakes to keep blazes from spreading. Trevor Dolph finds that they're pretty good for clearing trail, too. How they should build the trail. Stage 1. By the time the scouts arrive at the work site, the flag lying signifying the route of the trail is already in place. The largest trees have already been removed with chainsaws. Stage 2. A team of scouts uses rakes to remove leaves and other debris from the path between the flags. Stage 3. A second team of scouts uses tools called mattocks to dig the trail at a width of 2 feet. The trail is sculpted to be mostly flat with a small degree of slope to allow for water runoff. Stage 4. A third team uses other tools to remove any small roots and correct any issues left over from stage 3. Stage 5. A final team of 2 or 4 people removes the stake flags so they can be reused further down the line. White blazes are painted on the trees to guide hikers on the final trail route. For video of the scouts working on the mountains to see trail, click on boyslife.org/links/MST. Now for Scouts in the News. Scout earns heroism award. Wyatt Hassel saw the man fall and then the blood start to flow. Leaving a stamp club meeting at First Lutheran Church in White Bear Lake last June, the Matamidi Boy Scout saw Arnie Wallop trip and hit his head. Hassel, then 15, offered help, but Wallop declared he was fine. "That was when I saw blood flowing profusely out of the back of his head," Hassel recalled. "At that moment, I called 911 to get help. I told Arnie to keep pressure on his wound, using a handkerchief. I also got him on his knees to elevate his bleeding head from the rest of his body. He kept trying to get up, but I made sure he would not leave." When his dad arrived, Wyatt ran into the church and retrieved towels. Father and son administered first aid together until an ambulance arrived. Wyatt, who's now 16 and a sophomore at Mahatamidi High School, was honored last week for his possibly life-saving response. At his Boy Scout Troop 89's Court of Honor, May 18th, Wyatt received a Boy Scouts of America Heroism Award. More than 6,000 Boy Scouts celebrate Scouting Centennial at Jambo 100 at Kutztown University. After 100 years in existence, the Boy Scouts of America celebrated their centennial with Jambo 100 from May 14th to 16th. Boy Scouts from eastern Pennsylvania visited Kutztown University, where they camped out in tents and participated in a variety of different events around the campus. Large events like this are held every 2 years for the Scouts. A tent city was created to house more than 6,000 participants for the weekend-long event, which stretched across the south side of campus. World record-breaking CPR and AED training event at the 2010 National Scout Jamboree. Today, the Emergency Care and Safety Institute, ECSI, announced plans to shatter the current world record for mass cardiopulmonary resuscitation and automated external defibrillation, AED, training at the Boy Scouts of America's 2010 National Scout Jamboree. This historic event took place on July 29, 2010, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Fort A.P. Hill, Virginia Arena. A Guinness World Record adjudicator is expected to be on hand to verify and announce that the old record has been broken. Over 20,000 scouts and scout leaders attending the 2010 National Scout Jamboree are expected to receive training on how to perform basic CPR and how to operate an AED. Participants will receive nationally recognized course completion cards from ESCI following the training and will return home with the ability to perform these life-saving skills in their own communities. An event of this magnitude requires a tremendous investment of time and resources, said Dr. Larry Knoll, ECSI's executive director. Thankfully, ECSI, the Boy Scouts of America, and our incredible sponsors are fully dedicated to the mission of training these scouts so they can put these skills to use if ever called upon. Bethel Boy Scouts retrace hometown soldiers' Gettysburg path. A group of local Boy Scouts walked the route of some 30 young Bethel men who died or were wounded in the Civil War's Battle of Gettysburg. It's a heartfelt experience being on the battlefield where so many people died. The air is heavy, and following people who came from our hometown really was kind of sobering, said David Corin, 17, a Bethel High School senior. We hiked the same passes as the soldiers. The Reverend David A. Popel of St. Thomas Church wrote the memorial service they used with a prayer book from the Civil War. The troop received permission to raise the flag from the National Park Service, said Sherry Gaffney, the troop leader's wife. Southeast Texas Boy Scouts celebrate 100 years. The rain was coming down by the time the first group of Boy Scouts made it to Village Creek State Park and beached their canoes last Saturday. The eight didn't seem to mind. However, jumping back into the water at the landing spot for a swim after carrying their canoes up the beach. The 10-mile canoe trip and skills challenge might have been a new experience for that group, but scouts in Southeast Texas and across the United States have done similar activities for 100 years. The Boy Scouts of America was founded in 1910, with the first Southeast Texas chapter organized about a year later. And this year, they celebrate their 100th birthday. Enthusiastic scouts made recycling a pleasure. While covering mountaintop news the past few years, I repeatedly heard how hard it is to get people to volunteer, whether it is for fire companies, ambulance associations, or even church events. But the efforts of a local Boy Scout troop has given me some assurance that volunteering is not a thing of the past. A week ago, I made my regular Saturday morning trip to the recycling center at Wright Township. It's not unusual to see youngsters doing community service work helping out there, but I immediately sensed there was something different about the group I encountered that morning. It was their enthusiasm. I wasn't even out of my car when I was greeted by several young men who were eager to help me. One of the first things I noticed was they addressed me as sir, something you don't hear too often these days. Then they asked permission to open my trunk and back door, something else that impressed me. Since they were wearing similar T-shirts, I asked if they were part of a group. Yes, sir, one of them told me. We are Boy Scouts. He proudly related. I spoke to Paul Cianzo, Assistant Scoutmaster of Troop 106, who was with the Scouts. He told me the Scouts felt they needed to get more involved in the community, so they decided to undertake some public service projects. Their work at the recycling center was just one of their undertakings. BSU brings man's passion for Boy Scouts to life in the form of a new exhibit. Jack Spears loved everything about Boy Scouting. Today, the fruit of his passion, he has made possible a unique exhibit celebrating Muncie's part of what this year is the National Organization Centennial. It's called A Century of Scouting, celebrating 100 years of the Boy Scouts of America. Scouting meant the world to Jack, said his widow, Cindy Spears, discussing the collection of memorabilia that comprises the bulk of the items on display on the second floor of BSU's Bracken Library. He was so interested in the whole history of scouting in Delaware County. Cambridge helps Boy Scouts earn their dentistry merit badge. Cambridge Dental Group is proud to present our first ever Dentistry Merit Badge Day. On June 12th, we are opening our doors to eager Boy Scouts who wish to complete their dentistry merit badge. In order for a scout to complete a merit badge for a particular subject, he must meet many requirements. to successfully complete the requirements for the merit badge for dentistry, the scouts need access to many resources only found in a dental facility, which for many boys makes it a difficult badge to earn. Cambridge Dental is excited to help these young men by offering the materials, equipment, and expertise they need to reach this goal. We are also happy to provide this program at no cost to the participants. East Carolina Council of Boy Scouts awards $40,000 in scholarships. The East Carolina Council of Boy Scouts of America has awarded nearly $40,000 in scholarships to area students. The awards were presented Thursday at the Boy Scouts of America 20th Annual Rewarding Academic Excellence Banquet held in Tarboro. The East Carolina Council awards academic scholarships each year to graduating seniors in each of the high schools in the 20 counties the council serves. In addition to academic achievement, awards are based on community service and leadership. This year, the council awarded 60 scholarships for two-year or four-year institutions of higher learning. Neshuk Lodge Order of the Arrow Reunion. As part of the 100th anniversary of the Boy Scouts of America, Order of the Arrow alumni of Neshuk Lodge, number 143, will have an alumni reunion. The reunion is part of the annual Founders Day weekend in Ottawa, the hometown and burial place of W.D. Boyce, founder of the Boy Scouts of America. Neshuk Lodge, number 143, was one of three Order of the Arrow lodges that was incorporated into Wenasa Quinhotton Lodge, number 23, in 1973, with the mergers of the Starred Rock, Combelt, and Crew Cover Councils. 10,000-plus Boy Scouts gather in Annandale to mark centennial. Saturday morning's blustery weather delayed some events but failed to put a damper on a two-day Boy Scouts centennial celebration in Annandale, the largest Scouts gathering in Minnesota history. More than 10,400 people, most of them Boy Scouts ages 6 to 20, were registered for the centennial super event at Steam Scout Camp, according to the spokesman Kent York. As the sun reappeared Saturday afternoon, a sea of scouts moved among scores of tents and outdoor activity areas, York said. The event, at which scouts can earn pins for completing scores of various activities, honors 100 years of history. Nationally, the Boy Scouts organization was incorporated on February 8, 1910, York said. Minnesota's Northern Star Council, one of the nation's earliest, was formed on October 1st of that same year. Scout traditions carry through all summer long. While Cub Scouts plan their year in accordance with school schedules and Boy Scout troops tend to be more active during the school year, summer weather affords opportunities for more outdoor activities, and summer camps and day camps are keystone events for most Scouts. At these camps, scouts can earn a large portion of the requirements for their rank advancements, but more importantly, the activities are fun and educational. Christina Benson, a den leader in PAC 321 at Aurora Christian School, said, "My scouts enjoy having requirements done before the scout year starts. They also enjoy making friends with other scouts and having fun. Favorite things I have heard is archery and outdoor games. Boy Scout summer camp is an adventurous week away from home with activities such as camping, hiking, swimming, boating, shooting sports, and merit badges." Film documents scouting history. Inspired by scouting from generations ago, 16-year-old Blake Cotwright is sharing a little bit of little-known history in an upcoming documentary. The Latham Eagle Scout, who acted as director, producer, editor, has just wrapped up an 8-month project on the first encampment, detailing the original meeting of the Boy Scouts of America on Lake George. Blake's reenactment of this event is scheduled to run on public television station WMHT on Saturday. In 1910, when boys' organizations were springing up around the United States after British General Lord Baden-Powell founded the Boy Scouts in England, Edgar Robinson's YMCA's executive secretary of the National Boys Work Committee assembled groups from all over the country around a campfire ring at Silver Bay YMCA of the Adirondacks. The first camp was a test to see how this idea of Boy Scouting would work. It worked out quite well, Blake said. Cub Scouts celebrate centennial. Cub Scouts from Rowan County and beyond got an early taste of summer camp fun and learned about scouting history this weekend at Camp John J. Barnhart. In honor of the Boy Scouts of America's centennial year, Cub Scouts from the Central North Carolina Council's 8 districts gathered for a special 100th anniversary encampment. The event kicked off Friday with the campfire gathering and entertainment, continued with games and activities all day Saturday, and concluded Sunday with the chapel service and closing ceremony. About 540 Cub Scouts, boys in 1st through 5th grades, took part in the encampment, according to Thomas Griffin, a Rowan District volunteer. One of those men, Robert Cochran, does historic demonstrations for Salisbury Parks and Recreation. He volunteered his time this weekend to teach how pioneers camped and hunted for food. Not surprisingly, a lot of Cub Scouts and the muskets were their favorite part of the event. Cub Scout Pack 197 answers call to action. Since the Boy Scouts of America's inception in 1910, scouts and scouters alike have learned to live the principles of the Scout Oath and Law through community service and helping other people at all times. Scouting's Good Turn for America program encourages scouts to do a good turn daily. Often scouts will partner with community service organizations, as that partnership provides many additional avenues for scouts to provide community service in their neighborhoods. After the historic flooding of Middle Tennessee, a call to action was issued to the scouts in Pack 197 at Barfield School. These scouts were only 6 to 12 years old, but they were determined to make a difference and help those in need. Working with the Salvation Army, the scouts began assembling personal hygiene kits for flood victims. The scouts distributed flyers, placed collection boxes in area businesses, posted on Facebook, and visited local hotels, gathering items to be used in the personal hygiene kits. Prince Edward partners with Boy Scouts. Prince Edward, Earl of Wessex, is helping enrich the lives of young minds, and he chose Irving-based Boy Scouts of America as his cause. The fourth child of Queen Elizabeth II signed an agreement Thursday with the organization making the Duke of Edinburgh Award, which started in England more than 5 decades ago, available to scouts here in the States. Boy Scouts can give you 100 reasons. 14-year-old Carlos Bruno can think of countless things he likes in scouting, and he held a sign Wednesday to tell you about it. "I love to be a Boy Scout," people say. "Oh, it's boring. All you do is hike," Carlos said with frustration. "We do a lot of things. We do things in the water, things in the sky, shoot guns, and yeah, we do hike." The Boy Scouts of America this year, its centennial, is marketing in full force how its members have enriched their communities. About 100 scouts from the Blue Ridge Council held signs and waved U.S. flags for an hour Wednesday afternoon along Jefferson Street, Roanoke's heart. They included teenagers such as Carlos, who ranked a Star Scout with Troop 5005, and who said he wants people to join him. He said, "You don't know what you're missing out on until you try it." Scout Center construction starts Saturday in Fairview. Construction will begin Saturday in Fairview on the Boy Scout Service Center for the Circle 10 Council. The 13,000-square-foot building called the Bobby Lyle and Billy Gamble Scout Service Center will serve as the Boy Scouts of America Collin County headquarters. The two-story building will include meeting rooms, office space, and retail outlet for Boy Scout supplies. It is scheduled to open in December as part of the Boy Scouts of America's 100th anniversary. The center will serve about 10,000 youth, said Sherwood Blount, president of Circle 10 Council. Boy Scouts of America enriches the lives of many young men in our community, and we look forward to welcoming Circle 10 Council to the village at Fairview. Huntsville Wablow Scout and 5th grader wins National Arbor Day Poster Contest. The Arbor Day Foundation named Wyatt Dunn of Huntsville, Alabama, the winner of the 2010 Arbor Day National Poster Council, an annual contest for 5th grade students throughout the United States. Dunn attends Jones Valley Elementary School in Huntsville. Dunn's poster was selected to be the best out of all the finalists from 46 states and the District of Columbia. As the national winner, Dunn will receive a $1,000 United States savings bond and will attend the National Arbor Day celebration in Nebraska City on April 30th, along with his parents and art teacher Denise Taylor. Dunn will also receive a lifetime membership to the Arbor Day Foundation, the nation's largest nonprofit organization dedicated to planting trees, a framed copy of his artwork, and a tree planted in his honor at Arbor Day Farm, a 260-acre historic landmark that was once part of the estate of Arbor Day founder J. Sterling Morton. And now let's conclude with Think and Grin, page 52. Seth, what do you call it when a giraffe swallows a toy? Toy jet? Jake, tell me. A plane in the neck. That's from Jared Penrod in Bahegen, Germany. Alex, what do you call a smart corner? Casey, I haven't a clue. Alex, a right angle. From Alex Shaw in Racine, Wisconsin. Andrew, what did the horse say when it fell down? Teddy, I haven't a clue. Andrew, I fall and I can't giddy up. From Andrew Zetto from San Lorenzo, California. Chris, what did the astronaut cook in his skillet? Chip, beats me. Chris, unidentified frying objects. That from Christopher Pope in Georgetown, Kentucky. A book never written. Winning by Victor E. That's from Jack Kelly in Fairport, New York. Wes, knock knock. James, who's there? Wes, dishes. James, dishes who? Wes, dishes how I talk when I lost my teeth. That's from Weston Light in Hartsville, South Carolina. John, why did the whale cross the ocean? Rob, I don't know. John, to get to the other tide. That's from Johnny Robbie in Twinsburg, Ohio. Charlie, knock knock. Thomas, who's there? Charlie, cows go. Thomas, cows go who? Charlie, no, silly, cows go moo. That from Joshua Cornwell in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tom Swifty, I love Kansas, Tom said plainly. That from Brian Schaefer in Brunswick, Ohio. Dawson, why did the bowling pin stop working? Lawson, why? Dawson, because they went on strike. That from Dawson Mock in Detroit, Michigan. Tom Swifty, this is amazing comet. Tom marveled. That from Benjamin Sappin in Oswego, Illinois. Kirk, why do mummies have no friends? Mike, why? Kirk, because they're too wrapped up in themselves. From Kirk Johnson in Bothell, Washington. Tom Swifty, pass me the shellfish, Tom said crabbily. From Noah Wu from Fremont, California. A book never written. Steamed Vegetables by Barack Lee. From Charlie Rose in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Teacher, Daniel, I've had to send you to the principal every day this week. What do you have to say for yourself? Daniel, I'm glad it's Friday. From Martin Richard in Belmont, Massachusetts. Warped Wiseman says, I forgot to throw a boomerang, but eventually it came back to me. From Bette Andreas in Madison, Wisconsin. Daffynition, boycott, a place for a young man to sleep. From Jonathan Pisick in Springfield, Missouri. Warped Wise Man wonders, how much deeper would the ocean be without sponges? From Ben Stetler in Colorado Springs, Colorado. A book never written. A Century of Scouting by Annie Bursary. Maximilian Jablonski in Ligonier, Pennsylvania. Alex, where does a spy sleep? Carl, I don't know. Alex, undercover. By Alexander Gaston in Clay Center, Kansas. George, what happened to the robber who stole a lamp? Tell me, George, he got a very light sentence. That from Martin Richard in Belmont, Massachusetts. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. These readings are podcast after the initial airing. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and vision impaired audience. So long, until next time.